Thank you, Lord. So his health can be restored, restored to his family. Amen. Really? Amen. Thank you for bringing that word out this morning. Okay. Some of you will be able to make it to this movie by 1 o'clock. I'm set on that. Okay? You want to do it? And last week, it was 1 o'clock when we ended or so. So we'll aim toward that. Thank you, God, for your word. Open it to us, please, for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been through quite a walk. For most of you have been here. Some will be unfamiliar with the territory. We have spent time looking at the five of the six trials, all of them illegal, that Jesus went through, from the garden to the cross. Last couple of weeks, we looked at the person of Pilate. And he was a notorious character. He was not a pleasant figure in history. He was an awful person. And Herod the same. We looked at Annas the high priest, a month and a half ago probably, who too was notorious. And yet Jesus before them could have a heart that I think reached out. I just have to think that. His answers to some of Pilate's questions this morning show me that. Pilate did not deserve the gentleness that Jesus showed him. Didn't deserve it, and yet it was there. We've worked our way through the various Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, going back and forth, trying to line up sequentially what took place. Last week, we talked about Jesus coming back to Pilate. So twice before Pilate, and in between, he went to Herod. While with Herod, he was beaten. He went through a terrible physical time and did not speak one word. He should never have been there, but he was there. They dressed him in a white robe, a glorious robe, as if he was the king of the Jews, but it was in complete mockery, and sent him bound back to Pilate. And that's where we were last week, and we'll be visiting that again this morning. Please turn with me to John chapter 18. I don't think we'll get into chapter 19 this morning. There's plenty right here in John 18. To read all of these passages together, you've got, I don't know how many chapters, but it can be done in one sitting without a problem. But to put it together in a sequence and pull in the history, it takes much, much longer. I could never, ever teach through this in just one lesson, one setting. Yeah, I don't think it's possible. Bringing out what takes place, beginning at verse 33. Jesus came back to Pilate. Pilate, therefore, entered again into the praetorium, that room where he does his business. The Jews wouldn't come in for the same reason we looked at last week. If they entered the praetorium, they considered themselves unclean and they couldn't eat the Passover. That's what John tells us. Jesus was sent in to him. Pilate came back to that seat, back into the praetorium. He summoned Jesus, and he said to him, first question, are you the king of the Jews? Now remember, Pilate, the first time he was there, he declared Jesus is innocent. He's not guilty of any crime deserving death. In fact, why is he even here? Tell me the accusations. What are the crimes? And they only told him ludicrous things. Pilate was dissatisfied with that and said, he's innocent. Oh, you're from Galilee? Huh, Herod's in town. Let me send you to Herod. He'll take care of the business. Remember that Pilate was on trial. Pilate was on trial from Caesar in Rome. He was being investigated because people were getting kind of disgruntled about this murderous guy. So he had a little bit at stake here. Now he finds Jesus back. Are you the king of the Jews? And I wonder how he asked that question. He knew that Herod was a king of the Jews. Here's Jesus. Jesus answered to him, verse 34. Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? See, who's in control here? Did you come up with that, Pilate? Have you been looking into this? Have you been investigating? What did others tell you? And Pilate's answer, I am not a Jew, am I? What a dumb question to ask me. Your own nation and chief priest delivered you up to me. What have you done? Question number two. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. Ooh, what's tucked into that?
Yes.
There's a yes right there. My kingdom. That would imply that he is in fact king. My kingdom is not of this world. Okay, let's think about Pilate for just a minute here. What's his cultural background? Rome, Grecian. How many gods did the Romans acknowledge? How many Greek gods? Let's put the cultures together because they were meshed. They were intermingled. Well, we have a god of the weather. We have a god of this. We have a god of that. And in fact, Caesar is worshipped as God. Right? Okay, that's the understanding. He accepts that. He's lived that. And he is a creep. And Jesus is standing before him, maybe one of the first ever, looking at him with compassionate eyes. I can't help but imagine Jesus having this interaction with Pilate in a way to get Pilate's attention on a real positive note, not accusing him, not slapping him around, not threatening him, not begging for his life. So who told you this, Pilate? Did you figure this out on your own? He clarifies, well, I'm not a Jew. Your own people and chief priests turned you over to me. What have you done? Well, Jesus doesn't present any crime either that he has done. Simply, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting. Because I shouldn't be here if that was the case. That I might not be delivered up to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm. Ooh. My kingdom is not from here. Now Pilate, his brain's working. Now remember, his wife has come to him and said, I suffered terribly last night. Herod sent Jesus back, said he's innocent. His wife said, have nothing to do with this righteous man. Pilate has decided he is innocent. Man, this is a stuck position to be in. And now he's using the words, my kingdom, there is one, I am a king, is not from here, from this realm. This guy is getting on edge. You can imagine he is getting scared at this point in time. Pilate therefore said to him, oh, so you are a king. By the way, that's not really a crime. If it was involved with an insurrection and trying to politically turn over the government, that's a whole different issue. That's Barabbas. We were introduced to Barabbas last week. Barabbas, son of Abba, but a murderer. A rebellious, starting insurrections, overturns of the government is what he's doing. And as we're going to see right here in verse 40, a thief, a robber. Verse 37, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I've been born, and for this I have come into the world. Oh, that kingdom is from somewhere else, and you're a king. This is getting really weird. To bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said, what is truth? What is truth? You see, in this culture, this philosophy was in contradiction to that, and we accept both. Here's a God and there's a God, and they're in contradiction, but we accept both. Truth was a relative thing, and it was used in such a flippant way. And he knows that the Jewish leaders claimed God, yet they were jealous of this man and were turning Jesus over to him. What is truth? What is truth? Jesus brought that in. Why did Jesus bring that in? I think out of compassion. I think out of a heart that was wanting to bring Pilate to himself. Let Pilate understand forgiveness. Let Pilate understand that there is a God who is a caring God, full of mercy. What is truth? By the way, you don't see a response from Jesus there. I've heard some long sermons on this. Jesus didn't bother to answer the question. Maybe self-explanatory. What is truth? We can go through the scriptures, and I can present a sermon on this. No question about it. John 17, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. In God whom there is no lie, I am the way, the truth, the life. We can go on with scriptures that talk about truth and fill this out for Pilate. Things that we know, but what was Pilate thinking at the time? I think he is so cynical. He knows his own heart, and it's been corrupt. Everything around him has been corrupt. Great old Herod, first thing he does is kill a wife, you know, and then he killed another wife. It killed his mother. This is weird. Nothing but conspiracies and assassinations in the whole political scene, not just in Rome, but right here in Israel. And then there's Annas, and he knows Annas, the mafia boss of Judaism there at the time. What is truth? The Jews present truth, and what is truth? There isn't truth to be had. And it seems like Pilate turns, and that is the end of the trial. No more the trial goes on from here. Pilate seeks to release him. Pilate turns after that question. When he had said this, he went out again to the Jews, and he said to them, I find no guilt in this man. Watch that lineup of questions. Number one, are you king of the Jews? Number two, what have you done? Number three, what is truth? Put those together, Pilate. Put those together. You might start coming up with some answers that are good for your soul. Anyway, went out again to the Jews and declared, I find no guilt in him. But hey, you have a custom that I should release someone for you at Passover. Do you wish me to release for you the king of the Jews? Oh, those are caustic words at this point in time. He did not care about these people whatsoever. And if he can throw some salt in a wound, he's going to do it. If he can make the wound a little bit more painful, he's going to do it. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? Your king? Oh, now watch their blood pressure start rising up. Watch them just seething with anger. Therefore, they cried out, and here's quick thinking, saying, no, not this man, Barabbas! Barabbas! Now, Barabbas was a robber. Verse 1 of chapter 19. We'll start into this just a little way. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Wait a minute, Pilate. What is truth? You've declared there's no guilt in the man. He is innocent. By this point, your wife has told you that God spoke to her in some kind of vision of the night. He's innocent. The people that presented Jesus to him knew that he was innocent, not guilty of the crimes they drummed up. False witnesses. And the false witnessing didn't even correlate with one another. What is truth, Pilate? Now you're going to beat him? You're going to draw blood from the scourging that he's going to go through? Pilate, let's turn the question on you. What is truth? Isn't truth something that you know is right and you live by it? He's innocent. Now you're going to beat him. What comes into play there? Pure politics. Pure politics. No longer a judge. Now it's, let's do this to get myself out of a bind. What is truth? Okay, let's leave that scenario for a moment. There's more in chapter 19, in fact, quite a bit more that we're going to get into, and then the other gospels on the way to the cross. Let's just put that aside for the moment. Again, be reminded of this, of the atrocities that a human being can bring on another human being. Let's leave that in that little stew pot also. Let's step beyond that and recognize another part of Jesus' prophecy. He was telling the disciples for quite a while before going on this last trip to Jerusalem, the Son of Man is going up to Jerusalem. What's going to happen to him? Say it a little bit louder. What are the things?
Be delivered up to the Jews.
Be delivered up to the Jews. And he's talking about the leadership and the Jews. And they will? Not first. Yes, ultimately. They will mock him. They will scorn him. They will beat him. They will crucify him. And on the third day, hallelujah, he will be raised from the dead. I see a God that is absolutely in charge and a God that deals with pain of sin in a painful way. And Jesus had to endure that pain of sin so as to have this soul redeemed. Have the soul of those who were crucifying him the possibility of redemption. And thus the prayer on that cross, we'll look at this as it comes, as it unfolds sequentially as we can. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, I think that goes way back. I don't think that is just, oh, they're dividing my garments. That's not right. Forgive them for that. There is something going on that's a big prayer from the Lord Jesus, from his compassionate heart, that goes clear back to the beginning of this whole mess. Encompasses them all because of compassion, that gentle love and mercy. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. Your overriding purpose is better. In the garden, he prayed, Lord, if it's possible, what? Take this cup from me, the cup of drinking of the wrath of God against sin. Yet not my will, but thy will be done. There is an overriding sovereign God that is winning the souls of men right here still. Pilate thinks he plays a part, and he does. But as Jesus is going to tell him just a few verses down the line here, you would have no authority over me if it weren't given to you from above. Who's in control? Pilate, what is truth? Okay, let's go back to the three questions. What was the first question?
Are you king?
Are you king? Are you king or king of the Jews? Mine says king of the Jews, verse 33. There was a man that used to be part of our fellowship, hasn't been for quite some time, that confronted me one time on that statement. He said, well, Jesus never said he was king of the Jews. The way he said it, there is no way around it, he claimed to be king of the Jews. But more than that, what does the scripture also tell us about his kingdom? It's not of this world, and it's not just of the Israelite nation. It is king of kings, lord of lords. It's much bigger. And he absolutely did not deny it, and there was wording even right here. Yes, he has a kingdom, and yes, he is a king. There are people today that are still attacking that very thing. Not king of the Jews. Not king of the, you know, whatever. Okay, well, maybe you're reading a different book than I'm reading, because my conclusion's a little bit different. He is the king. You can see it through the New Testament. You get to the book of Revelation and you see him in authority as king. What about the next question? Question number two. What have you done? People asking that question today? I've had people tell me, well, it's really not worth doing this Jesus thing because look where it got him. A little bit askew there, wouldn't you think? What do you mean that's what it got him? He came here to endure that. What has he done? Yeah, let's look at what he has done. He has healed blind people, lame people, cast demons out of people, raised some from the dead. Oh, those are terrible crimes, aren't they? And what else did he do? Lepers, touched the untouchable. What a guy. What have you done? Obviously, he's asking for the crime. There's silence because there was no crime. Innocent, sinless. There is not an answer to that question that describes anything he has done wrong, because everything he has done is right. What a Savior. What's the third question? And we are living in a world that needs to know what truth is. But they're being infected by our culture in a very concentrated way. Truth isn't what your dictionary says it means. We can talk about truth, but whatever you want to be true is okay. It's true. Whatever I want to be true, that's okay too, because that's true. It's true to me. We've had this term around for a long time that truth is relative. I remember being in a logic class back in 1981 or so, and somebody in this class said, well, we know the truth is relative. And I don't even know what he went on to say, because my brain started saying, wait a second, class was dismissed. Well, man, I couldn't let that one go. And I was working, I worked through a paper on it. And at the next class, I said, sir, you know, the teacher, anyway, said, somebody in the class said last week that truth is relative. That cannot be. And he agreed with me. He did. That was cool. It was really cool. I felt really good. Truth is not relative, or it's not truth. Use a different word. But Pilate, in that world, his culture also convinced him that it really doesn't matter. It's not about truth. Here's what it's about, similar to today. Advantage. It's your advantage to believe this. You benefit from that. And Pilate, it's all about his own benefit and working his way up that ladder of politics to get to the highest point for what? Wow. Even the emperor himself, Nero, came to power. He was born December AD 37. He came to power as Nero the emperor when he was 17. At 17, he reigned for another 14 years. His own people were kind of putting pressure on him to oust him, and he committed suicide at 34 years old. First thing that Nero did, as we talked about him last week, is he had his own mother put to death. And as we found out, rumor has it that because she conspired to kill him. Man, what a family. And he'd married a woman for political advantage. He got the political advantage and killed her. And then his next wife, a cousin or a half-sister, he killed her too. I mean, what a time to live in. To say, what is truth? Okay, I'd maybe ask that same question. What is truth? But now he's asking the one who is truth. I am the way. The embodiment of the way. One of the songs we sang this morning. I am the truth. The truth what? About the Father, and the truth about how you get to the Father. But more than that, all truth is based in the fact of who he is. The Creator God. Pilate asked the right question, but he didn't stick around for the answer. What is truth? Let's point to Jesus first of all. And then life based on who Jesus is. Am I living a life of truth? I think they're valid questions at some level, but asked from a guy that really had advantage in mind rather than truth in mind. Let's put a little pause on it right here. I'll ask for interaction, questions or comments. Yes, ma'am. And I think my wording is, so you are a king.
Yeah.
He concludes from Jesus' reply. And again, in the Greek language, there was no punctuation. Wow. So it's kind of an editorial choice what to do with it.
There's no punctuation?
Zero. And if you were to read, you look at a page of Greek, it just goes, it just keeps on going. It's a difficult thing to work your way through. And what a tool punctuation is. Look, there's a period. That's a question mark. Explanation point. You know, all these things. Those are tools. Greek language did not have them. And sometimes it's pretty important to look and see what linguists say, because some of the choices to put periods here or commas there might not be as accurate, but there's full agreement, or not full agreement, there's a lot of agreement on various texts that we have in front of us. But anyway, just sideline. What was that?
What they got away with without having no periods in place.
Spoken from a true teacher's aide right there. He's spent her life teaching kids. Yeah. Anybody else? What was that?
What is truth?
Okay.
I have to explain, you wouldn't understand.
Okay. Jesus might have easily said that to him. But remember, he's living in the cesspool of everything calling itself truth, and everything is contradictory and murderous. Yeah, and you, truth? What is truth? And he walks away and said something true. I find no guilt in the man. Don't let go of that one. Anybody else? Questions, comments?
What is truth?
Yeah. I think it's the word aletheia. And it means what it means. Circular definition. It means it's true. What? Wait a minute. It's correct. It's accurate. Anyway, we can have a fun time to see how the word true or truth is used in the scripture. Absolutely. But very confused right here.
In regard to what the Montevideos asking or saying, my Bible has an exclamation point after that. So you are a king.
Okay. It's groups of translators trying to decide at that point in time which way should it tip.
So the way it's worded in mine is, so you are a king with a question mark. But when I read that, because it worded so you are a king, I read that as a positive, not as a question mark.
Okay.
And it's, if it said, so are you a king, that to me it should be a question mark.
Okay.
So that question, not shouldn't
be. Okay. Hey, be a student. It's okay. It's good. Keep going, Sherry Lou.
You know, when Adrian was here and we were beginning to talk, that was one of the big things, because just trying to help him understand that there was absolutes. Because all over the world, I mean, as I got to know him, and thinking about our friend Patrick, in Europe also, just thinking, and all of the messages that you can get when you are on Facebook or any of this media that we have, I mean, that's the message. What is truth? Well, I mean, it is the message of the day.
Somehow the God of this world, not our God the Creator, but Satan himself, the liar, the master liar. Let's bring that word in as we look at truth. Somehow he has convinced people, and they swallowed the bait and a hook, that this, which contradicts that, they're both true. You can't have opposites that are both true. That's insanity. You call it something different. Don't redefine a basic word that is intrinsic to our culture, not only ours, but just human communication. Is this true or is this not true? Am I now standing in Oregon and now I'm standing in Maine at the same time in both? No, I mean, this is insanity. What is truth? Well, truth is what it is. Truth is reality. And when you have it in front of you, and here's the problem in our culture. Oh, yes, the Jesus you're presenting sounds very good for you. Well, this is true over here. Well, wait a minute. This one can't be true if Jesus said, I am the only way to the Father. Can't be. What is truth? And much of our culture doesn't care to look at that. Good for you. This is good for me. La, la, let's have fun. I'm sorry? Yeah. Or other things that they say about him as well. song we've opted for this morning, I think, brings a perspective back in, reminding us in a worshipful way who God is and who we are.